This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Their college football season this fall. They could be the first domino to fall as the Power Five conferences continue to debate what to do amid the coronavirus pandemic. In the NFL, the Patriots are expected to sign veteran running back Lamar Miller to a one-year deal. They've reportedly agreed to terms. Yannick Ngakoue's attempt to force his way out of Jacksonville has hit a bump in the road. Ngakoue has parted ways with his agent. The Jaguars franchise tagged Ngakoue during the offseason, but the edge rusher has yet to sign his franchise tag because of his unhappiness with his current situation. In other NFL news, NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero is reporting some league-wide COVID testing numbers. 107 NFL players have gone on the reserve COVID-19 list so far. 80 have been activated back off of that list. 27 players remain on the list, which is less than 1% of rosters league-wide. Currently, 18 teams have no players on their COVID reserve list. Buffalo Sabres made it official. They will return to the Royal Blue jerseys starting next season. The jerseys will feature the Royal Blue color scheme the team wore from 1970 to 1996. That had been a request of fans for many years since blue, white, and gold returned as their primary colors in 2006. And the New York Rangers won the number one pick in the 2020 NHL draft in the second phase of the league's draft lottery. This following the team's exit in the Stanley Cup qualifiers late last week. And that is your sports update here from One Bills Drive. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown with you as we're broadcasting from the Seneca Studios here at One Bills Drive. And Steve, we were talking about some of the comments on the tweet sheet. There have been some good ones so far as we are asking Bills fans which Bills rookie could be the biggest surprise in 2020 and why. And in just a minute, we'll also get to some comments from John Brown, but we like the Dane Jackson comment, and I actually got another one on my own Twitter feed here from Jeremy. He said, "I think Dane Jackson is an interesting player. He can contribute on special teams, has the ability to play inside and outside corner, a feisty player who won't be scared of the competition." And that is one of the things that made him attractive to Sean McDermott. I think we know that corners in this scheme have to be able to be run support corners if they're out on the edges and force things back inside. So they have to be good open field tacklers. They have to be aggressive. And, you know, you look at the corners on this roster, whether it's Tre'Davious White, Taron Johnson, who is small in stature but packs a punch when it comes to tackling from that nickel position. So you got to have guys that can hit and wrap up at the corner position to make this defense, you know, operate at the efficiency that they want. And it looks like, at least in that aspect, that Dane Jackson fits the bill. The knock on him is tightening up his technique. And this is not an uncommon comment that you hear about cornerbacks in college, ones that rely on their athletic ability maybe more than the true techniques of the position.
And this is, I think it's one of the things that held Tre'Davious White back from getting the credit he deserved, which he finally got this past year as an all-pro corner, was the fact that the defense can protect corners as well. They don't ask these guys to go out and be an island like Darrell Revis. They give them some help once in a while. They don't ask them to do it all themselves. And the skill set they bring to the table makes a lot of difference. And a guy like Dane Jackson, certainly a guy like Tre'Davious White, he's going to win more often than not, particularly when he's got a defensive coordinator that's given him some help once in a while, and he's got safety help over the top. This is a team defense. And there's no question Tre'Davious White would be successful in just about any defense you put him in. But when you've got a coordinator and a defensive scheme that gives everybody a little help once in a while, and they don't ask you to carry the whole, you know, kit and caboodle on your shoulders, it gives them a chance to compete hard in moments where they need to. And it gives them a chance to take some – it gives them the opportunity to take some chances.
Yeah.
So it's a defense that is perfect for guys to come in, and if they understand it to a high degree, they can really look good doing it and have some great seasons doing it. And a guy like Dane Jackson, while, you know, he's a rookie and he's got, you know, some stuff he needs to tighten up, no question, I think the greater knowledge he can get learning about it, watching it, and seeing how Tre'Davious White plays it, seeing how Levi Wallace plays it, Josh Norman plays it. This is a time where it's like we said yesterday with some of these young offensive linemen getting in the room with all this experience. Man, those guys, it's going to benefit them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if they're, you know, if they've got these kind of abilities to begin with, it'll be hard to keep them off the field if they develop that fast.
Yeah, it's going to help. We'll actually ask Dane Jackson and Gabe Davis, who will have up at the bottom of the hour in the live interview, what they feel about having veterans in their respective position rooms. Because those two positions, right. I mean, you got vets galore.
Think about this. So they must like Dane Jackson, to me, just completely superficially. They must like Dane Jackson more than they liked Levi Wallace 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Levi Wallace wasn't drafted.
Right.
But he's got that kind of skills. You know, they said, no, bring the kid in. And Brian Daboll watched him in practice, ran his offense against a guy like Levi Wallace. Said, yeah, he's a good kid. He's got all this intangible stuff. And that's one of the things that he brings to it. Now, if Dane Jackson has that kind of intangible gift, if he's got more traits.
He was a team captain for Pitt.
And if he's got more traits and develops like they've developed. They've got, you know, an even better guy than they've had in their starter for the last 2 years. So there's a lot there to be optimistic about if Dane Jackson can put it together.
This one from Jeremy, a different Jeremy. He says, I don't think I've been as excited about the wide receiver position since the Price Molds era, but I believe right now the special teams kickers are a need. Both last season showed me areas of concern as long-term bills, so I hope to see Tyler on the field to begin his NFL development. And Tyler Bass is leading the voting right now on the Twitter poll in terms of which rookie you expect to surprise for the Bills here in 2020. And, yeah, you know, I get it. You know, Steven Hauschka on kickoffs has had some trouble at times, particularly late in the season when the ball doesn't carry as far. And we know what coaches like, Steve. Coaches like removing as many of the variables from a game as possible. And if you've got a guy that can drill it through the back of the end zone and guarantee you that the opponent's got 75 yards of field to cover to score against this defense, there's value in that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And coach, you're right. Coaches love predictability. They love having – that's why coaches –
predictability and consistency.
Right, consistency. And coaches love bringing players they have been around before to their new team because they know exactly what they're getting. There's a lot of guys on the team that they get – you know, a new coach will come in. He doesn't know all these guys well, but you know what? I know this other guy. I know him really well. So I'm bringing him in knowing what I got here. And if there's somebody better, then okay. But until then, I want something I know about. That's what they love. And if you've got a guy like Tyler Bass who – kickoffs are off the table until you get that personal foul on the touchdown against the defense and you come back on offense and you're kicking off from the 50, then you want a guy that can drop it inside the 5 with 5 second hang time outside the numbers. And you go down there and then you tackle them on the 10 and they got 90 yards to go for a touchdown. Because that happens, you know, once or twice a season. And in these games that are all decided by one possession, that's huge.
Right.
And you got to have your ability to do it. And anybody, and you know, Hauschka can do that, but you don't want to you know, it's just one more thing you've got. You want a guy that can kick it out of the end zone whenever you need him to do it, which is after just about every touchdown.
Right. And the Bills last year were 18th in the league in kickoff touchback percentage. It was around 56%, I want to say, if memory serves. And it's just it's just not good enough.
In defense of it, kicking outdoors in Buffalo's rough.
Right.
And at the end of the season, I think you really have to take it game by game, you know, whether it's home or away. And you got to look at your opponents in those games as well. Are they doing it more than you are?
Yeah. And I realize, Steve, that you and I don't cut it nearly as fine as this coaching staff does with the tape that they grind on and the advanced analytics that they utilize to determine, touchback percentage is 56.1%, and we were 18th in the league, but what were the weather conditions in this game?
Right.
What team were we going against? Were we going against a team that brings it out of the end zone even if the guy's 9 yards deep? Is that their philosophy? You know, what were the reasons behind the percentage being what it was? They've done all that, and they drafted Tyler Bass.
Yeah.
So that, to me, kind of spells it out. Like, we're going to see if we can do better here.
Yeah, it's also how your opponent did in the exact same game under the exact same conditions and what their kicker looked like. And is your kicker and your specialists outperforming their opponents on a consistent week-to-week basis? Because you get into a game where the wind is crushing you one way or the other. How many times did they kick off with and against, and how many times we kicked off with and against?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So all of that goes into the mix, and you're right. Now, it does have – you get in, and all that stuff goes into the pot, but also comes down to what happens on draft day. And a kicker of certain with certain traits drops to a point where you say,
Are we going to take
another quarterback? Like, they just drafted Jake Fromm.
Fromm in the fifth round.
Are they going to take this quarterback? We got a kicker who's got the same traits, and let's get the kicker. You know what I'm saying? So all that stuff goes into the mix, too, and how the draft falls. But you're right. They want some competition at that spot, and they're probably trying to light a little bit of a fire under Steven Hauschka, but also just get better.
Yeah.
Just get better.
We want to get to John Brown before we run out of time here in this big 1 o'clock hour segment, because we ran out of time yesterday. I don't want that to happen again. So John Brown, who was on with the media on a Zoom call yesterday, covered a lot of topics, development of Josh Allen, talked about Brian Daboll's offense and his place in it. He was asked about Stephon Diggs as well, and about the rookie receivers that were in the draft class, Gabe Davis and Isaiah Hodgins. So we'll start with, this now being John Brown's second season in a Bills uniform. He's been around Josh for a good deal, and he was Josh's number one target last season and had a career year as a result of that. So here's John Smoke Brown on where he sees Josh Allen's game going in year three.
Now, I definitely see Josh taking control of the offense. You know, you could tell that he's grown from, the end of the season to now. And I'm real excited for Josh. You know, he definitely will be able to control games the way that he should. I think, he will do a great job. That's just Josh all around. Once we get going, we will definitely tell things from that point. But I definitely believe he will, do exactly what we expect.
So this is the second guy now, Steve, because Mitch Morse was the first, when asked about Josh Allen. They are talking about, last year we heard, Josh has got good command of the offense. He knows the scheme. He knows what his answers are. But now we're talking about, it's different now. It sounds more like this guy's running the show. Like, it's his show. He knows it, and he's letting everybody else know it too.
Right. It's interesting, too. 3 years ago, when Josh was a rookie and he got thrown in early in the Nate Peterman fiasco and all of that, he was raw. Great, big, strong athlete. You could see the traits in him. He had a huge arm, and he was a competitor, a fiery competitor. The guys loved playing for him. But he just needed to know more. Then last year he gets in, and he's a different guy. He's completing, 6% more of his passes.
Short to intermediate passing game takes a sharp spike up.
a lot of things go better for him. He's got better weapons around him. The offensive line's not a mess like it was 2 years ago. He just has a better offense around him. And so the big question coming in is always like, wow, can he take a step that big again? Because he came a long way last year, and it was a consistently long way. I mean, it was a roller coaster season for a lot of ways, but his numbers were pretty consistent. He threw the ball much better last year than he did 2 years ago. He ran the offense much better last year than he did 2 years ago. He's more efficient.
Better decision-making in the second half last year of the season.
All of that stuff. So the big question is, can he do it again? Can he get better? And the simple fact of the matter is, you look back 2 years ago, the question, he's got plenty of room to get better. And his trend has never stopped being up. Even in the last month of last year when they didn't win week 17 and because he didn't play that much, all that stuff, he's trending up. We have yet to see him like plateau really. Mm-hmm. Now he'll have a setback here in this statistical category or that one, but
sometimes an opponent will just get him.
Generally speaking, the guy's getting better and better and better and better and better. The question is, where do you believe that's going to top out? And his team, and I think he's still going. He's smart and he works hard. And that's, I don't know what other ingredients you need, but that's it.
Yeah.
And it seems as though these guys are seeing, yeah, he's better now than he was just 5, 6, 8 months ago when we left. He's better now.
Right.
So the question is, what's that going to look like?
Yeah. And how is it going to be manifested within the scope of the passing game, which now has all of these weapons, as we've outlined, and how is it going to keep everybody happy? That's another question that John Brown was asked regarding Brian Daboll's approach to spreading the ball around. Here's what he had to say about that.
He's been real creative with that, you know. I can't say much. I mean, you will see when the time comes, but he's doing a great job, and you know, I just feel, you know, your time, like when your time come, it will come. Like, so it's so many weapons that we have, like, so it basically teams will have to pick their poison.
And year two with Coach Daboll, how has his development, how comfortable has he been with you guys year two?
Oh, he's been real comfortable, man. You should see him walk around the building. It's funny. Like, he's got a different swag to him right now.
Why do I picture Brian Daboll doing the Conor McGregor, you know, walk after he wins a UFC fight? You know the one I'm talking about, where he's swinging the arms out and strutting his stuff. I could see Daboll doing that.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah,
he's probably going to yell at me for saying that. But I can see it behind closed doors, you know. No cameras rolling. I can see him stepping out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a lot of fun with it. But it is going to be interesting. I think one of the – think about this, and I've said it a couple times during the offseason, during that Houston playoff game, Duke Williams got 10 targets. He got 10 targets because that's the guy Houston wanted Josh to try and beat him with. And he found it, made the right decisions. That was the guy you got to target. You target the guy that's singled and the guy that's got a matchup. That's the matchup that
if we're going to lose, we're going to lose because Duke Williams beat us, not because John Brown or Cole Beasley beat us.
And and you can say, well, they did beat us. And you know what? We were up 16-0 at half, and Josh was making the right decisions and the right reads. Now, what happens when you switch out Duke Williams and you plug Stephon Diggs in that spot?
A little different animal.
Let's see who they decide to beat him with this year.
Yeah.
And Dawson Knox is going to take a step forward. I firmly believe he's going to be a much better tight end than he was a year ago. He's going to be a matchup problem. You've got two running backs that you can throw in. It's not going to be Frank Gore. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fresh set of legs in Zach Moss. And Josh, to me, has displayed the ability to make the right decision, go to the right matchup, and now in his – this year in this offense, if they take another step forward, you know, there's a lot to be optimistic about, a lot to be really excited about. And you can see it in all these players. And like I said, it is that time of year for everybody and all the teams.
Yeah.
But you can see a little something different in the optimism the players now are portraying to the media here locally.
Now, Brian Daboll, he was on a Zoom call back in June, I want to say, which was the last time we really had a chance to talk to him, among other coaches. And he was asked about Gabe Davis and Isaiah Hodgins, who we've been talking a lot about on today's show, with the Twitter poll being what it is. And he said those two guys know their stuff back to front, front to back. It's been very impressive, especially in a virtual setting, not getting physical reps, that they've been able to do that. So I put that away, you know, in the filing cabinet, you know, as a reporter, and said, okay, that's interesting that the coordinator is impressed with these young kids. So then John Brown was asked about these same two rookie receivers. Now listen to his answer that he had on Isaiah Hodgins and Gabe Davis.
Those two rookies, you know, they one of the they the two best that I've seen so far since I've been in the league. Those guys know the playbook better than any other veterans right now. So, and you know, they, and you know, Gabe Davis, he played different positions. He know every spot. He know every alert, hot read, and you know, he's going to be a big help to the puzzle. So with those guys, it's amazing because they even out there to help me.
Good grief. How about that?
Good grief.
How about that?
I heard, now, here's the thing about Gabe Davis when he came out, that, and I've got this written down. I've got this handy dandy little, you know, so I can keep track of all the draft prospects.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things from Gabe Davis. The first thing about it is he's got great character. Gabe Davis is a guy who's like a team captain, presidential quality guy.
And they draft a lot of team captains.
And he's smart. He's extremely talented. That's one of the things. He's got leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem with Gabe Davis was they didn't ask him to run a huge array of routes at UCF.
Yeah.
He ran a limited route tree.
I don't think it matters. He's right. Lining up at every spot.
Right. So all of that stuff goes into the Gabe Davis file, and it turns out, you know, let me tell you something. When John Brown says he knows all the hot reads and can play every spot, knows all the hot reads.
He hasn't physically repped it on the field except for this week.
Let me tell you something. That ain't easy. And I say that because that was one of the things I struggled with hard. It was really hard to stay on top of that stuff. Even in the preseason when you didn't have game plans and changes to it week to week. To get on top of it in the preseason, say, yeah, when this happens, I do this. But if that happens, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And know it like that, that's while really it's good. Happening.
And John Brown, the two of them, he said the both of them
know it back
are the
to front.
Best he's seen since he's been in the league.
In terms of knowing their stuff.
The best
that's what
rookies,
just to put it in proper context, in terms of knowing their stuff.
The best rookies he's seen at knowing the playbooks since he's been in the NFL. That's pretty high praise.
It is high
from
praise.
John Brown.
Yeah, and you know, this is a guy that played in Baltimore and a guy that played in Arizona with some pretty good young receivers. So,
and Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, right, who he absolutely loves.
Yeah.
And who doesn't. But, yeah, so when John Brown said that, and I'm transcribing that interview, it's like, all right, let me get the highlighter for this one. You know, that's a highlight quote when you're talking about the rookies. So Gabe Davis might not be a bad vote for the poll. He might surprise people more than anybody's even anticipating. Not in terms of getting a roster spot, but in terms of production.
And you think about this, too. You got three guys out there, and you get into a 2-minute or 4-minute deal before the half is going to end, or even before the game is going to end, when you got guys running all over and they're running back, they're running your no huddle setting.
Gassed
and stuff.
A little bit.
They're gassed. Gabe Davis is on. You know, he's on. You know, he might be the next guy in. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Hodgins. They might get regular rotations if they go six deep.
I don't mind going four wide either. One single back, four wide. I don't mind that either.
Yeah.
Especially if this kid proves he's ready to execute.
That's the thing.
Huh.
If they've got faith in these guys and they see something in them, they'll find a place for them.
So, as I mentioned, Dable said it, Brown affirmed it.
Right.
So, I mean, these two young kids are getting a lot of positive comments from the vets and the coaches on this staff. It's going to be very interesting to see if they can make it happen to an equal degree on the field when the real training camp practices ramp up next week. Steve and I have to take a break, but when we come back, we will have Gabe Davis along with Dane Jackson. We'll have the two guys together as they talk about how these first few days and week of training camp, or whatever we call it, is going so far, how they're adjusting to finally getting some physical reps after a long layoff, and the unique connection these two share from the college ranks. We'll get into all of that with Gabe Davis and Dane Jackson coming up after the break here on One Bills Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Presented by Kaleida Health, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here on a Tuesday edition of the show, and pleased to be joined at this time. Back on the air, Steve, and we finally got some players on live with us. Is this great or what? So two members of the rookie class from the Buffalo Bills, Gabe Davis, the wide receiver, fourth-round draft choice, and seventh-round draft choice, Dane Jackson, the cornerback. Guys, great to have you on at the same time. You guys have a unique connection before you even got to Buffalo and became teammates, which we'll get to in a second. But how has this run-up to training camp been treating you guys? How does it feel to finally be back on the field as professionals? Gabe, we'll start with you.
It's just a blessing. Feels great. Just the other day, I was talking to one of the coaches, and looking at my helmet and seeing that Bills go across it, you know, it's surreal to me to know that I'm in the NFL, and it's great to be here, and I'm, you know, happy to be in Buffalo and be able to start my career here.
Dane, what about you? I mean, a five-month layoff, and now you're finally running around doing football stuff.
Right. I mean, like Gabe said, it just feels good to be out there on that field, running around, you know, getting those physical reps, getting more comfortable with the defense and the scheme. Being with those guys that you know watched on TV for years, you know, just being out there and being able to rep with those guys, it's a great feeling.
Gabe, you and Isaiah Hodgins, two wide receivers, got drafted this year. You came in the early returns. We've heard a lot of feedback about how on top of it you guys are with your assignments, where you're supposed to go, learning the language of the offense. How hard has that been, given the fact that, you know, you've done everything on a computer screen? You've had, you know, it's been classroom work rather than on the field stuff. How tough has that been for you and Isaiah?
I feel like it was pretty well. You know, the coaches did really well teaching the material. We had a lot of note cards and, just constantly going through those. I feel like that was the best way for both of us to study and get to know what to do. And, you know, we got together throughout the summertime to go, you know, walk through and run through these plays and get a feel for everything. So I feel like the way we attacked it was the best way.
And then, Dane, you know, you and Gabe are both part of position groups that have a strong veteran presence in the room. I know it's only been a few days now that you've been with those vets working. How beneficial, though, have you found that to be, you know, as a rookie looking to be a sponge?
It's been very beneficial for us rookies coming in because our vets are so open, they're so willing to teach us, you know, any questions we have. They're there to, you know, answer them on the field. If we have problems, they're there to fix them and actually talk us through what needs to be done. So it's been very beneficial for us.
Gabe, you come into the NFL, you're working with Brian Daboll's offense. It's an offense that's kind of versatile. It's designed to take advantage of matchups from week to week. It can change vastly. How hard has it been to digest all of that, and how far along in that process do you feel you are?
For me, I feel like I'm pretty far in the process. Again, like I said before, I mean, I had a lot of help, you know, from Matt Barkley, Josh, Jake Davis, Isaiah, all the guys helping me to learn this offense the best way I can. And I'm just trying to, you know, take advantage of my opportunity to keep studying, keep working, and, you know, just stay on top of everything.
All right, guys. So now that we've got through the particulars of how camp's going, it's time to have a little fun with you two, because the connection that you guys share is you faced each other on the field in a game setting before, and the last time was almost a year ago now. It was September 19th, 2019, UCF versus Pitt at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, and we got some highlights that we're rolling right now. But, Dane, I want to start with you.
Because this was kind of a big game for you guys. UCF's coming in, winning 27 of the last 28. They hadn't lost a regular season game since, like, 2016. What do you remember most about the vibe for that game, and how did the emotion and intensity kind of shift and change as the game went on for you, Dane?
I mean, all week we knew that they were coming in and they were the team to beat. You know, they were the team to beat around the nation. They had a lot of talk around them, and they showed that every single week. So we knew that we had to come in on our A game. And, you know, as the game went on, you know, it was a tight game in the beginning. So, you know, that kind of got our guys more involved in it. And as it went on, we just kind of kept coming and kept coming.
And, Gay, what was your take going in, and then as the game unfolded? It kind of shifted. I mean, it shifted and changed a lot there.
For us, we knew what happened the previous year, that they were going to, you know, come in and give us their all. And, you know, I feel like we probably took it, you know, a little lightly. But at the end, they still went in and competed. And, you know, they ended up on top. Those guys came in. They worked. They took advantage of their opportunity and really, really showed out.
Gabe, you know, we saw the highlights of it. You had a huge game. You had 10 catches for 151 yards, a couple of touchdowns. You actually gave your team a 10-point lead with about 20 minutes to go in that game. What do you remember about those scores?
I don't really even remember too much. I just know before that week, they're going to put the bigger, longer corner on me. I didn't really get to see Dane that much like I did the previous year. But I just knew the game plan, knew it was going to happen. So, you know, just prepared all week to be able to come out and compete with them.
And Dane, I believe you were the leading tackler in the game for your team, and I think you made the last tackle of the game to kind of seal the 1-point win. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that was me.
So that highlight we saw is you running down the field after you made the tackle to kind of seal the game.
Yeah, they had a good. Actually, when we looked at it in film, they were drawing up a nice play. If I wouldn't have made that tackle, they would have had something big on it. So I'm happy I was able to be in position to.
And speaking of trick plays, I know a lot was made of the play that kind of gave you guys the 1-point lead with a minute left. I know Coach Narduzzi kind of drew something up that was similar to Philly Special at the Eagles running the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Did he put that in practice during the week? Because from what I understand, it worked against your defense in practice pretty well, like the Thursday before the game.
He put it in, and it did work really well. So, but I didn't expect him to call it in the game. So I'm happy we were able to practice it, you know, and execute it in practice so we could actually get a good looking game in the game.
What's it make the both of you feel? I mean, Gabe, I'll start with you. You played against this guy. It was a great game. A lot of respect goes around when you play guys and they play well against you. And now to have both of you wearing the same helmet in the next level of football, it's got to feel pretty good for both of you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I got a lot of respect for Dane. He's a great guy, great dude, great player. As soon as they said his name, came across that TV, I knew something special was going to happen. I knew, you know, I feel like he's going to, you know, be a great part of this team, and I'm happy to be, you know, part of it with him.
And Dane, are you giving any of your fellow defensive backs any tips on Gabe's tendencies since you've seen him a couple of times?
I mean, he's a great receiver, big, strong, you know, fast. You know, when he puts his head down, you know, you got to get on your horses too. So, you know, it's just been great competing with him for the past 2 years, and now being on the same team, we're able to take it to the next level together.
Finally, guys, as focused as you are on getting ready for your own season, which is coming up in about 4 weeks, how has all the uncertainty concerning college football grabbed both of you? It looks like the chances for college football are not looking great right now. I'm just kind of curious, being so recently removed from it, how is all this news kind of grabbing you right now?
For me, you know, I really don't even know. It's, you know, everything that's happening this year is, you know, it's the first time all this has ever happened. So, you know, I'm just going by what I see on TV and on social media, and, you know, I just do my part here every single day and focus on, you know, what I got going on here.
Dane, how about you? You're hearing from any of your former college teammates, like, are they gripping a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, just guys who were in a position to come out last year and stay, you know, those guys are kind of in the bind. But, you know, everything's going to work out, I feel, you know, in their favor. As long as they keep working, you know, there's guys opting out, stuff like that. So, I mean, they just got to keep working and hoping for the best.
Dane, Gabe, guys, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Good luck. We hope to see you on Sundays in the fall here. We're looking forward to watching you play and practice. Good luck and stay healthy, okay?
Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for the time, fellas, and hopefully at some point in time we can actually sit across from him at a table and interview him in the studio. But, right. I mean, thanks to our guys hopefully in the control room for making this thing work because, right. as you could see, those two guys are on different iPads because they have to socially distance. You and I are 6 feet away over here because we have to socially distance, yeah, but we pulled it off. So
hopefully they won't be five-year vets before we actually get to shake their hand.
But good to hear from a couple of members of the rookie class as real training camp really kind of gets underway over the weekend. They're still doing phase two here, conditioning and other stuff, and we just thought it would be a fun thing to talk to them about because those guys had played each of the last 2 years, you know, UCF and Pitt, and sometimes they were directly across from one another, more so in the 2018 game than the game last year. But man, I saw highlights from that game you know, back in September, just watching, you know, some college football highlights, and man, that was a barn burner of a game. 35-34 was the final. Pitt pulling off the upset over UCF.
And it wasn't an upset. Yeah. UCF had won all,
they won
like
their last
28-1 or something.
They
like
were won
that?
Their last 27 regular season games in a row. Right. Their only loss was to LSU, who won the national title last year.
Right.
The previous year in a bowl game. So that's why we wanted to get their thoughts. Thought it'd be fun to kind of have them. They didn't really want to jaw jack back and forth at each other. I think Dane's pretty happy they came out with the victory, but Gabe had a monster game. So just fun to kind of catch up with them and get their thoughts and memories on what was a very special game at the collegiate level. Steve and I will take a break, but when we come back, more One Bills Live coming your way. We'll have it all for you here coming up shortly. It's One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and good conversation there with a couple of rookies on the roster, Dane Jackson, Gabe Davis, and that barn burner of a game they had in college between one another with Pitt coming out with a 35-34 squeaker win over UCF in an upset because UCF was ranked number 15 in the country at the time. And as you noticed on the screen, if you're our MSG viewing audience, and if you're on the radio listening audience, we'll explain this to you, but we basically had the two of us up on the screen, Steve and I, along with Dane Jackson with his own little box and Gabe Davis with his own little box because those two guys, even though they were both being interviewed by us, had to socially distance.
That's what it looked like.
We have a photo of what those guys were doing to just conduct the interview with us a short time ago. So we thank them along with Kevin Kearns from the Media Relations Department for helping us to execute this because we're all making adjustments,
right.
and this is an example of how the tables are socially distanced for meetings
right.
in the field house.
Look at that.
They need this much extra space.
Right. Look at that. That's a meeting room, which is, you know, a third of the size or half the size of a regular football field, just for as probably an offensive or defensive setup right there for one side of the football or the other. It's not the whole team. But that's what you're looking at, and that's how they have to meet, and that's how seriously they're taking social distancing and the protocols and the masks.
Well, yeah, because they're masks off for this interview, so they went a full 12 feet. Forget about six.
It's funny, too, because not for nothing. Those guys, they did a great job with this interview. They're smart kids. They're going to be great. They've got a lot on the ball. As you could tell, their peers, now the peers, the veteran players are – saying, yeah, these guys, have, you know, their lights are on really good. But I know this, too. They were sitting there doing this interview because somebody told them to go over and sit down and do the interview. They were like, whoa.
Where do I go?
And we tried to line
up. Who am I talking to?
We told them before we got on, say, guys, listen, we're, you know, we're in-house. We're kind of doing this thing. I said, don't worry about it. Just relax and do it. And they were both, yeah, okay. they were here.
I guess we'll believe you.
Right. They were here strictly because somebody held their hand, walked them over there and said, sit down and do this interview. It was pretty funny, but that's not for nothing. Sean McDermott does a nice job. We kind of bristle against it once in a while because they're very protective, particularly the younger players. They don't want their young players. We got, you know, got the two of them together, Gabe Davis Dane Jackson to come on together today. But the clubs, you know, they do give them media access and all that like they're supposed to, but they're pretty protective. They kind of set these guys up for success. They don't put them on the field right away, and they don't put them out in the public eye right
get
away.
They overexposed and hyped up too much.
They don't put them in front of the cameras, and that often. They do a nice job with it, and it's all part of the development process that the you know, this process that Sean McDermott has, you know, it's all part of that process. Yeah. And it has worked to perfection so far. These guys get better quickly. And then when they're ready to come out in front of the cameras like this on a more regular basis, well, they're ready.
Yeah.
Basically. So.
But we appreciate our time with them. And in case you missed the interview, there are other places you can catch it now because we are streaming on the Buffalo Bills app and podcast form. All shows, portions of this show are podcasted on BuffaloBills.com, the Bills app, Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. So if you missed the interview with Dane Jackson and Gabe Davis, be sure to check it out there where we will be re-racking it for you to view and listen to at your leisure. You know,
right.
We know people have jobs and you can't listen to the whole show sometimes. You kind of get in, jump out. Maybe you're driving somewhere. Or you're on a sales call driving somewhere. You only catch 20 minutes of the show. So it's there for you to consume when you have the time to do so. So just be aware of that that's where you can find the interview in case you missed it a short time ago. Back to the tweet sheet, Steve, before we break here at the top of the hour. Which Bills rookie could be the biggest surprise in 2020 and why? And it is still Tyler Bass out in front, and he's widening his lead, Steve. Tyler Bass getting almost 40% of the vote here. Gabe Davis right behind him at almost 34%, followed by Isaiah Hodgins and other. So we do have a couple of more comments from the tweet sheet that we need to get to from Seth. He says, I think it'll be Epinesa. He's going to come in and play a lot. They'll be moving him around the line, and I think he'll be in the pass rush package next to Ed on the inside. I can see him leading the team in sacks. Just got a good feeling about the dude. Wow. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he contributes, which is partially why we didn't even include him on this list.
Right.
He's their top pick. He's going to get time
on the field, yeah.
Even as deep as that defensive line is.
Right.
Now, you want to tell me he's going to lead the team in sacks? Now I'll throw that into the surprise category.
Yeah, that would be a surprise, no question. And we all have high expectations for the season all the way around, and particularly for guys who are actually going to get in. You know A.J. Epinesa is going to be into the rotation, and we have yet to see what he looks like. But you're right. I mean, the guy brings a lot to the table. That's why we said who's going to surprise. A.J. Epinesa is not a surprise to me.
Right.
Certainly it would be a surprise if he leads this team in sacks, particularly if this team has a good year defensively. But him playing and getting on the field and contributing in some way, shape, form, even on a consistent level or basis, is not a surprise to me. So I kind of get where you're coming from. If he's that good, that will be a surprise. But we expect him to contribute. Last one on this tweet sheet from Steve, he says, I don't think any of the drafted players would necessarily be a surprise to me. I think if a guy like Trey Adams rebounds from his past injuries and has an impact with his play, that would be a very pleasant surprise for me. Trey Adams, rookie undrafted tackle out of
Washington,
who was 2 years ago touted as a pretty high draft prospect early in his career. Then he got a knee and then a back injury.
Yep.
Two different injuries that kind of limited
back-to-back years.
And that dropped him off the draft board for a lot of teams. Bills got him. This is a guy that's 6'8", 317
pounds.
Plus pounds. And I saw him at the draft, at the combine, run some things. And then I also saw him after that. He looks trimmer now than he did at the combine. Much trimmer.
And it wouldn't surprise me if that's partially done to – you know, not overtax his back. You know, you have length, you have size. There's no need to add any extra girth. People can't get around you because of your length.
Right.
Not because of your size.
It's your strength and your length. Yeah.
So just stay trim, keep the extra weight off your frame, and that probably helps his back and his knee for that matter.
I haven't heard anything like this, but it wouldn't surprise me if after the Bills signed him, and plus he did look soft at the draft. He looked a little loose.
A little doughy.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills said, hey, I know you're 318 now.
Let's firm it up.
Let's get your body mass index. Let's get your lean weight down to about,
310.
Whatever percent that would be. Yeah. Let's put on about 15 pounds of muscle and drop 30 pounds of fat. You know.
Which sounds like an enormous amount, but for these big guys, it's really not.
They'll do it.
Yeah.
And that may be what happened to him. Because he did look different when I saw him in his Bills uniform for the media guide kind of thing. So that may be something the Bills took after they signed him, come up and said, this was months ago.
Yeah.
Said, listen, here's what we want you to do with your body. And if the kid is who he needs to be, he'll get it done.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That he does,
because
he did
it's
look
an interesting
different
choice,
to me.
And that's what we're looking for from the other category on the Twitter poll. So thanks to Steve for doing that. Wasn't you. That was another Steve.
A different
right?
Steve. That okay. was my evil twin.
Fair enough.
Or maybe I'm the evil twin.
Well, hey, it depends which way you want to slice it.
Right.
We have been holding this guy in our back pocket for the entire show. One Levi Wallace is entering his third season with the Bills. He's held off any and all competitors his first two seasons to stay in the starting lineup at the right cornerback position. But there's a new contender, and his name is Josh Norman. How is Levi Wallace navigating the impending competition that will ensue when the helmets and the pads go on next Monday? We'll hear what he has to say about that when we come back here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.